Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my conversation with Sonia Frederick of the Albany Common Council. She's the newest member of the council representing Ward 1. We talk about fireworks, gun violence, trust in the police, and how the pandemic is impacting the city.
It's been definitely a unique and unprecedented time. And then, as you know, I was also in a special election this year, so I'm new to the council, going on 7 months now, and then I also did a campaign throughout the pandemic. So definitely an interesting last 7 months.
How has it changed what you do and what you think you should be doing?
So in terms of, like, just meetings, we have switched to digital platforms. I see this, I go back and forth as to whether or not it's more beneficial or it's actually the opposite. And the reason why is because I feel like more people are tuning into our live streams, which is good compared to what we had in person. However, I think there's a different approach for public comment. And so for the first few meetings I had in person, during my time on the council before the pandemic, I really enjoyed the public comment period because people would come to the podium, they would be able to speak, and we'd have that, face-to-face interaction, and we would receive a lot of comments. Now, because of a digital platform, people have to dial in and then choose to go on video. If not, they can just submit comments, but it's definitely a different approach. And then in terms of things outside of meetings, I find that, especially with my campaign that I did, I wanted to have more like face-to-face and door-to-door interaction with my constituents. But because of, social distancing guidelines and COVID-19, I feel like I've had more of a delayed relation with my constituents as much as I would have liked to, as much as I envisioned prior to the pandemic happening. So it's been interesting.
I remember covering your introduction to the council. You were talking about how one of the main things you want to do in the first ward is, community building and outreach. So I imagine that's got to be much more difficult nowadays.
It is. It definitely is. I've tried, I've did some door-to-door more in the last month, I'd say. But I've also tried to switch to mailers and things that would allow me to connect, although not face-to-face as preferred, and just try to build my, my network and that community.
How much longer do you think this will be the case? I know everyone wants an answer to that question. It's a hard one.
Yeah, very hard to say. I really don't think I have an answer, Ian. We're seeing a little uptick right now in cases. I'm hoping it goes the opposite direction soon, but if it continues on that trend, it's very hard to say how long this will go.
There's a big question about whether schools will be able to function this fall, and if so, what it will look like. What are you hearing from your constituents about, the coming next school year, what it might mean for their children, and really what it might mean for childcare and issues like that?
Yeah, so I've heard some mixed reviews. The majority of what I heard is it's very difficult to try to, especially with our younger children, to try to teach via remote platforms. And there's a few things there. So if the family doesn't have good internet connection or good Wi-Fi, that's already going to, disenfranchise the child from being able to get the full learning. Then on top of that, if a family has two working parents, a working mother or a working father, and they have to juggle, sending their kids to school via online platforms or teaching them things from home, that can become immensely troublesome. So I've heard more of that. They're hoping it goes back to regular platform. But I've also heard a few people say that they do enjoy, having their kids at home. So it's a little mixed.
Let's talk about one of your bailiwicks, which is public safety. We're speaking just after the 4th of July, and there's been so much discussion and debate this year about whether people should be doing fireworks on their own, whether they should be limited to the hours they're doing fireworks. The mayor actually shared pictures of DGS crews cleaning up the city of Albany on Sunday morning from just the immense amount of, you know, firework garbage that was left on many streets. What do you think we should be doing about this issue?
So from a personal standpoint, I do not support the legalization of the fireworks that occurred. I just see firsthand, you know, people on my streets getting woken up 3, 4 a.m. And I think about people who are, you know, veterans or people with PTSD or, you know, people that have suffered from gun violence in the past, hearing those loud booms at night. And then also our pets, right? Like I have a little Morphy. He starts howling in the middle of the night on a weeknight. I think, so because of that, I do not support the legalization that we've seen with the fireworks. And I think right now what's happening is our county legislator is actually trying to put something in place where it wouldn't be legal here in Albany, and I'm in full support of that. In addition, one of the things that we should be doing, and that, you know, we try to push some information out about, is if you see fireworks, please report it to the anonymous tip line with the Albany Police Department. It's fully anonymous. You can just call it in. If you have an exact address, that's great. If you know a general location, that's even greater. That's also great. But just giving those leads is I think, tremendously helpful for the police department to be able to figure out and pinpoint where these are coming from. Because, Ian, we see that, you know, I know sparklers are the legalization was due for sparkling devices, but a lot of these devices are extremely loud. And it seems like the legalization of these sparkling devices has only led to an influx of the large commercial grade. And it's really not safe. We have kids, teens, adults who don't know how to properly handle fireworks, letting off these huge, huge fireworks in the middle of the night, and it's dangerous.
The county legislature, I mean, they kind of admitted that it's not going to happen too soon. I mean, this has become, you know, for a lot of neighborhoods, it's like a nightly situation. Even if the law is amended, it's hard to imagine that it'll go away anytime soon.
Yeah. With COVID and the pandemic, we're not able to have the large fireworks display that we usually have at Empire State Plaza. So, you know, we saw it on the 4th of July that many households were just setting off fireworks into all hours of the night because they didn't get to go celebrate as they usually did.
Okay, so while you raised the issue of the police, obviously the city has had just a rash of shootings so far this summer. At some points, it was, you know, a daily basis where someone was being shot and maybe killed. And it's coming at a time when we've had really this national debate over what we want policing to look like and so on. You're hearing calls to defund the police. We've had Chief Hawkins on this station, you know, discussing these issues. But what do you think? How do we make sure Albany is a safer place to be?
Yeah. So we definitely had, in the more recent weeks, a great increase in crime happening in our city. And from what I'm hearing from the police department, it's hard to pinpoint if everything is correlated or everything is related. But, you know, it's from my understanding, it's like known perpetrators in our city who are engaging in these activities. So what we can do is, again, I would recommend we pull away from the, you know, I don't want to say something. I don't want to snitch. I think if we see something, you know, we should call that in. And that's, you know, that's the way that we're going to pull people off of the street. So I think as a community, we can do our part. If we know someone who's involved in the violence or involved in the criminal activities, please just call it in, because you know, pulling that person off the street can save a life. You can save a life of a friend, a loved one, an innocent bystander, right? And I don't want to, I'm sure none of us want to see other lives taken from our city.
Now, on the other side of the coin, in terms of police oversight, what should the council be doing to make sure that that trust is maintained?
Yeah, so we are currently looking into legislation right now and putting things forward that would give the CPRB Community Police Review Board more power. So this is an independent party from the police, and they have the ability to review police cases and determine whether or not, you know, things went correctly or things need to be questioned. And so what we're really looking to do, one of the things we're looking to do is give them subpoena power. So they have more ability as an independent party or independent body to have more oversight on the police department.
And do you find that the police department, or at least its leadership, is supportive of that effort? Do you know?
From what I've seen from our chief and from other leaders that I've been in contact with personally in the police department, it does seem like they are supportive. You know, they said it firsthand themselves, like, you know, they don't know if they should be the first one to certain calls, whether it's a mental health call or things of that nature. So it's all related to police reform that we'll be doing. But I think a lot of the leaders there are supportive. There definitely may be some that would not want to see change. But I think what's important is the tone at the top. So from what I saw from Chief Hawkins, it does seem like he's receptive to these changes.
Last thing I want to ask you about, what did you think of the mayor's decision to take down the Philip Schuyler statue that stands in front of City Hall?
So personally, I am in support of pulling down that statue and moving it to a museum or someplace where it can be stored as history. One of my positions is I heard the cries from the community, some community members saying, you know, we're taking down history. What the mayor's deciding to do here is actually put it into a museum where it can be public, right, in a safe capacity and be out there for people to see. But it stood in front of our city hall, right, in our city of Albany. And pulling it down from in front of city hall shows that, you know, we as a community in Albany do not support the previous actions of our leaders, even though, you know, they obviously did good to our community. They also hold a really ugly past and held slaves, and they really affect our African-American and Black population within the city. So I'm in full support of pulling that statue down and moving it to a safe museum for people to be there.
There's an argument that I've heard articulated, which is, okay, take the statue down, that's fine, but what do you do about Madison Ave? What do you do about Washington Park? What do you say to that?
That is, I don't know that I have an answer to that right now. That's a hard discussion. Like, I think we're going to continue to see changes. I think the statue is one of the first moves that we're going to do. But I don't know what comes of the streets or comes of, you know, things that give memory to previous slave owners. I wouldn't say personally that we should be renaming all the streets, but, you know, we'll see as time goes on the changes that are made. And that's just a sliver of the changes. I think the real change comes from making our police reform and making the community and, you know, the police be more in tune with our African-American and Black community and also be more fair.
That's Albany Common Councilor Sonia Frederick of the First Ward. Councilor, thank you so much for taking this time.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. And until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.